Good morning. I'm Khaki Walton. Checking on the Arts is made possible by contributing listeners and the Orpheum Theater. The Memphis Brooks Museum of Art presents By the Book, a tribute to Dolph Smith that's opening this Saturday and will be on view in the Goodman Gallery through November the 26th. The exhibit features six pieces by Dolph Smith and honors him through inclusion of 11 artists who have worked with and admired him. Dolph Smith joins me in the studio along with the chief curator at the Memphis Brooks Museum of Art, Marina Pacini. Nice to have you both here this morning. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kat.
Well, you taught at MCA for 30 years, and now you live in this idyllic place, because I've seen pictures on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I want to be on your screen porch one day. But
You're welcome. You can, any day, just pick a day.
I would love to come to Tenarkippi. We're going to talk about how that's inspired your work in a minute. But you started out doing watercolor, and that's really what grabbed people's attention, and then you just made this transition into papermaking and then bookmaking. And you started, actually, the program at Memphis College of Art.
That's correct. Uh-huh.
The flying vat, where did that come from?
If you stand in front of a papermaker's vat, it kind of has a wing shape that cups up under you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you reach down to make a piece of paper in the pulp, it rolls like clouds. It has this rolling, wonderful effect, like you'd be in a plane. So with the flying vat.
I like the flying vat. Well, now, when we talk, these are art books. And when you say art book, people might think, oh, well, a book and they drew pretty things on the pages or something like that. But it can be traditional, but it can go beyond the traditional. And your work certainly does that because your work is so sculptural. Marina, tell us why you decided to do this exhibit and focus on Dolph's art books.
Well, we've got an amazing collection of artist books. They were given to the museum by the Goodmans, and we actually have a specially dedicated space for artist books. And Isabel Goodman understood that it was a really evolving artistic form,
mm-hmm.
That a lot of artists really find great to work in because it allows them to experiment in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about artists' books, we're being very specific. They are handmade. They are either singular, as in there's only one of them, or they will be made in limited editions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, nothing like a John Grisham novel. We're talking about really small print runs. It depends. I mean, they go in so many different directions. And I think that's one of the things that becomes apparent when you see the work in this tribute, not just in Dolph's books, but also the artists that he and I together selected to be part of the tribute, that there's this really interesting range of materials and approaches and ways of thinking about a book and what does a book mean and what does it look like.
Did the sculptural aspect of it, I mean, sometimes you look at some of these and book doesn't really enter your mind. Really, you're just looking at a beautiful piece of sculpture.
Well, you need to look at a book as a piece of sculpture, but as an interactive piece of sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a do not touch sign on it.
Right.
And you're able to you finish the book. You finish the art form. I tell my students this. You make a piece of work, and you finish it, and you walk away. Someone has to come and consume, enter that book, and have a conversation with it.
Oh.
And that finishes the book.
Oh.
That finishes the art. That makes it a piece of art.
When somebody else picks it up.
Yep.
And then in turn maybe says somebody else pick it up
it's
too.
It's a physical thing.
Yeah.
You interact with it. It was interactive before the internet came along, and it's going to last a lot longer.
I mean, that's the one downside about a museum exhibition is that they are in glass cases and people can't touch them. Gone to great lengths to try to set them up so that you really can see the exteriors because the bindings are incredible, but also see some of the inside. And Dolph doesn't know this, but we are, so I'm letting the cat out of the bag here. He was going to surprise him on Friday.
Yeah.
But we took photographs of the interiors of all the books and are creating a PowerPoint that will be on view in the gallery so that you can actually see the pages turn so that you really, even though you can't be the one that's turning those pages, you will get to see what the inside of those books look like so that people really have a better sense and appreciation of what's involved in these amazing works of art.
I'm glad that she said that because When you moved to Ripley and you have this, I think of your home as sort of, I've read that it's mythological and it reminds me of Yakutat County, like, you know, that Faulkner's thing, and you have Tenor Kippy, but I know that it's inspired you to write more.
Well, once I began to make these books, and I make them blank, so if I can manage to sell one, then I'm hoping they will use it for something, mm-hmm. that they will turn it into a guest, use it.
Well, you've started actually writing some...
Oh, yeah. I said, now, gee, I've done this. I need to put some stories in it. And Khaki, that lasted about 2 years. I can't put three words together now. But the stories are really kind of...
The stories are great. I mean, you're a natural storyteller.
Well, that comes from being growing up in the South.
That's right. Yes, it does. But your stories are included in a book that we won't be able to see. So, Marina, when you said we can't actually look in the book, are the photographs going to show some of his narratives or some of his short stories?
Okay, so now we're going and ruining another surprise. We found a way.
I'll leave the room.
We're laminating the stories, and they will be available for people to pick up and read. And they, Maria Ferguson, our fabulous assistant registrar, created them with images at the top so that you can see which book, mm-hmm. which exterior corresponds to which story. Mm-hmm. So people will be able to read the stories and stand there in front of the actual book and experience it. And he also, as we all know, has a great sense of humor and is into punning in a big way. So one of the books is called Haikus, and he's written a whole series of haikus that are visible.
Spelled H-I-G-H. Haikus.
Because it's a ladder, a nice big tall ladder.
It's haikus about ladders that lift you up. Ladders are uplifting to me, and they're in a lot of my books, and I call them inspirational. And can I give you one of my favorite quotes?
Yes, please.
The bird doesn't sing because it has an answer. It sings because it has a song. And I think as artists, we have songs. We don't have answers. If we had answers, we'd just quit. I used to tell my students, this was the thing I told my students, it's better to think than to know. If you know, that's what you get. What you know is what you get. But if you're thinking, you're going to come up with something. And it's a conversation. Art making is a conversation. You have a conversation with... You start something, you fold, you know, when you make a book, you pick a certain size sheet of paper, handmade paper, mm-hmm. and you fold the paper, and it tells you what size a book will be. You don't tell it what to do. The paper tells you what to do. And then you improvise from there, and you begin a conversation. Now, is this horizontal? Does that mean I put a river in it? Is it vertical? Do I put a ladder? You start a conversation.
So all of this just happens organically when you sit down and start working.
You don't need a plan. You need to just pick up some materials. I used to tell students when you're stuck, when you're really, really stuck, just go into the studio and make something. Meaning, if you just put two pieces of something together, it starts talking to you. And it says, this is awful, get rid of it. Or it says, go over here and get... I had a show, a gallery show of nine major pieces some years back. And just before the show was ready to be really put together, I was still working on all nine. I would find a piece that I wanted to put in this one, and I look over here, and this piece would say, no, you bring that over here. And I just had my little group of friends, and I talked to them.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking to Dolph Smith and Marina Pacini. Dolph is going to have some of his artist books included in an exhibit that opens this Saturday and runs through November 26 in the Goodman Gallery. It's By the Book, a tribute to Dolph Smith. And in addition to six of your pieces, and we're going to get back to those in a second, but also some 11 pieces. Now, you guys chose 11 other artists to take part in this exhibit to honor Dolph and the way that he inspired these people. Let's talk about some of the people who were included. Somebody near and dear to your heart, I know.
Well, they were students or they were colleagues. I, for over a period of 30 years, every two or three years, I would go to Pendleton School. It's a craft school up in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And when you go up this hill, society stays behind. And it's this group of people. And the studios are open, and people are glad to, it's a license to steal. And you go up there, and you interact with people, and you go through their studios, and you come back, and you build on that.
Yeah.
And it's a collaboration.
Well, and a lot of these artists, when actually every single one of them that I wrote to wrote back immediately and just said, it would be a great honor to participate in this tribute to Dolph. And the examples of work that we have to show are just fantastic. I think it says everything about how Dolph is seen by his peers and their deep affection for him and, you know, respect for his art making. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really, really fun exhibition. His work mixed in with that of his peers, it's really great.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about some of the things that we're looking at. I'm looking at this book, and that's yours, isn't it, Dolph? It reminds me of a money belt or something.
That's haikus.
Oh, that's haikus.
That's haikus.
Oh, it's standing up. I see the ladder now.
It stands up. It's supported by four ladders that hold the book suspended up on a stand, and you climb the ladders. Oh, it's like higher education.
Higher education, yes, it is. Now, you were describing this one earlier, Marina. Tell us about the piece that you just pointed to.
Well, that one, actually, Dolph should tell that story, but I love it because it's called Boik. Am I pronouncing it right?
Yeah,
Boik?
It's based on, it's a ball, but it's based on a buoy because there's a river of laminated woods, domestic and foreign woods, that laminated on the cover, and it's like a stream. The only problem is, I took my wife's favorite croquet ball and cut it in half. And she never has forgiven me for that. But khaki, it has two things in it. It has what's called a volvelle. It's a classic where you turn, it's a turning wheel, a rotating disc. That's a classic insert. And then the pop-up, which is very traditional. Two traditional devices in the pop-up. You know, you activate these. You activate the artwork.
I mean, that got my attention. That was one of my favorite presents to get when I was a little bitty girl, getting a pop-up, pop-up book.
It's a classic.
It is a classic. It's one of the greatest. So you're going to be doing a demonstration. We were talking about the fact that this is going to be all encased in glass. People can't touch it. You're going to actually be showing your process on September the 10th, a special reception, and you'll be doing a little demonstration and talk.
Yeah, I hope to put that together a little better talking with Marina here. And it'll mean, if she'll let me.
I bet she will.
I want to pass some of the books around so they can actually just open it up. Now, the thing about, if you'll notice, all these books, they have an anatomy. The mm-hmm. book has a very clear anatomy. Mm-hmm. It has the book block, it has the binding, and it has a cover that protects it. The binding tells you how to go through the book, and the binding protects it. And that's why all of my books have a visible binding. Because it's a perfect marriage between form and function. To look at the beauty of a sewing and the things you can do with that. And holds the book together and tells you how to go through it.
Now this is actually, there's 10 Arkippi Savings and Loan, which looks like a building. And there are little pieces of dollar bills there?
if anybody ever buys it, it comes with cash back. $5.
That's right. It may be in little tiny slivers, but still you're getting $5, right? Well, I want to ask you this. When you were doing watercolors, what made you decide to make the transition into papermaking and artist books?
Oh, I'm so happy you asked that because I went through the College of Art in advertising design, and I was with an advertising agency for 6 years.
I didn't know that.
I was with Archer Malmo when it was Archer Woodbear way back.
Oh.
And I began to have a need to make things, a creative act, and watercolor presents itself quickly. You can, in one session at night, I work nights and weekends, you'd find out quickly if it was going to work or not. And so I fell in love with it. I fell in love with watercolor being an act of nature. You put down a wet wash and add a ultramarine blue, and it scoots across the paper, and it edges and drops into the interstices of the paper. You collaborate with Mother Nature, and I like that. No matter what you do with a watercolor, she finishes it.
That's right. An unforgiving medium, right?
She can be demanding.
Yep. So then you decide, I'm going to...
Oh, and then they put me in charge. Mildred Hudson is a name that will ring some bells out there, for sure. She was at Bennington College or somewhere and ran across a paper maker. And she came back, and you should invite him here. And because I was a watercolor painter, they put me in charge of the paper making program. And it just ruined a good watercolor painter. So I began to... fell in love with paper because instead of going into a store and buying what a businessman said would sell, you can make your own, you could cast it, you could sculpt with it, you could put, I'll tell you a funny story. When I was making paper, I had my barber that I had for 40 years, back when I had hair, and I asked him, they were sweeping the floor one day, and I said, James, can I have some of that hair? And he got a funny look on his face and said, well, okay. So he gave me some hair, and I went out and made a series of paper for him, hair paper. I know.
You made some.
I hope they're not turning the radio off out
there. Heck no, they're not. Are you kidding me? I want everybody to come out and see the exhibit, though. It's so exciting that you have this exhibit and you're mounting it. It's going to be up this Saturday through November the 26th. And having work by some students and friends of yours who were inspired by you, your daughter has a piece in the exhibit, too.
She graduated under my program.
I love it. So everybody come out and see, buy the book. It's a tribute to Dolph Smith, again, opening this Saturday on view in the Goodman Gallery through November the 26th. A special reception featuring a talk and demonstration by Dolph. This is a free special event happening Sunday, September 10th at 2 p.m. So do mark your calendar for that. And you can see Dolph demonstrate the various techniques and formats that he uses in his artist books. You can get more information about the exhibit by going to brooksmuseum.org or call 544-6200. I'd love to have another 30 minutes, but we're taping this and my symphony's about to end, and so we have to call it done. But I want to thank Dolph Smith for coming by and also the chief curator at the Brooks Marina Piscini. This has been a real joy. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kak. It's been a joy for us, too.
Checking in the Arts is made possible by the Orpheum Theater, presenting Disney's The Little Mermaid, July 25th through 30th. The story follows mermaid Ariel as she longs to leave her magical kingdom beneath the sea to live in the world above, enchanting audiences with classics such as Under the Sea, Part of Your World, and more. Information at orpheum-memphis.com.